Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY24 conference call of Trucap Finance Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. My name is Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Trucap Finance Limited. On behalf of the company, I'd like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the first quarter of financial year 2024. Before we begin, let me mention a quick cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Let me now introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for opening remarks. We have with us Mr. Ranjit Singh Juneja, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, and also Mr. Gaurav Bhargava, Head of Golden Branch Business. Without any further delay, I request Mr. Ranjit Juneja to start with his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Anuj. Welcome to our earnings call today. In the first quarter of fiscal 24, Trucap reported earnings of 12.6 million versus 10.6 million in the previous quarter and 6.8 million in December 2022, resulting from strong revenue growth. Revenues for the quarter were 378 million, up from 327 million in the previous quarter and 261 million a year ago, representing 6% quarter over quarter and 45% year over year growth. This was driven by strong interest income growth of 18% quarter over quarter, given our robust trajectory of disbursements. Disbursements in the quarter were 2.61 billion, up from 2.38 billion in the previous quarter and 1.64 billion in the year ago period. Assets under management at the end of June 2023 were 6.59 billion, up 67% over the last 1 year. The product composition of our total on and off balance sheet AUM today is 61% in gold loans, 36% in MSME business loans, and 3% in loan against property and personal loans, which are in runoff mode. Active customer count, which was roughly 11,000 in June 2021 and 46,000 in June 2022, is up to almost 73,000 customers today. Debt on our balance sheet is down by 220 million or 5% quarter on quarter as we continue scaling up lending as a service or co-lending partnerships with marquee lenders. As we have spelled out on previous calls, this is a big focus for Trucap, where we serve as a 20% capital provider with the large lenders serving as an 80% capital contributor. However, the entire sourcing, servicing and collection on these loans is done by Trucap from our experiential center network. In the June quarter, we tied up with HDFC Bank as a co-lending partner for both the MSME Gold and MSME Business Loan product. With that addition, we have five partners today: HDFC Bank, DCB Bank, Central Bank of India, Shivalik Small Finance Bank, and Ugrow Capital. Today, 33% of our AUM is written with these lenders as lending as a service partner. This number is expected to inch up to 40% by the end of this fiscal year, which will make our balance sheet even more capital efficient and nimble. With these relationships scaling up, Trucap will need to cater to larger volume of disbursements in the geographies that we serve, which are Maharashtra, Madhya Pradesh, Gujarat, Rajasthan, Delhi NCR, Goa, and Punjab. To that effect, we opened 31 branches in the quarter, taking the total count to 108 branches at the end of June. The majority of our branch openings have been in Tier 2, Tier 3, and Tier 4 towns, which today represent almost 80% of our branch presence. We are very hopeful of substantial value accretion with these partners in our existing geographies over the coming years. Gross NPAs declined to 1.1% versus 2.2% in the previous quarter and 3.1% a year ago. This has been driven by our relentless focus on resolving legacy LAP and personal loans, which last year were almost 60% of our gross NPAs. Today, only 14% of NPAs come from legacy LAP and personal loans, which also are in the process of being resolved by March 24. To drill down further into NPAs, gold loans, which is 61% of AUM, represent zero NPAs, while business loans, which comprise 36% of the loan book, has an NPA ratio of 2.4%. Collection efficiency in the gold loan product is well north of 200% due to prepayment, repayment, part closures, etc., while for the business loan product, collection efficiency has ranged between 93 and 96% since July 2022. Now, coming on to what is our big focus going forward. Number one is on improving the net interest margin. While our NIM has inched up by more than 100 basis points in the June quarter, it is still below our expectations of 7.5% and 8%. This has resulted largely due to rate hikes being passed on to us from June 2022 onwards. On the asset side, given the increasing proportion of gold loans in the AUM mix, coupled with the fact that almost 18% of full-year disbursements came in the gold loan product, there was margin compression in fiscal 23. We are pleased to tell you that on the liability side, incremental funding cost has come down by more than 100 basis points in the June quarter. Furthermore, as the company is writing more business with co-lending partners in lending as a service, which gets funded at a fixed hurdle rate to the partner, this will be NIM accretive to us going forward. We are doing this fairly swiftly, the results of which will be evident from the September quarter onwards. Number two is on increasing operating efficiency through productivity and tech enhancements. As a company, we disbursed more than 35,000 loans in the June quarter versus 26,500 loans in March 2023 and 23,000 loans in June 2022. This means we average close to 380 loans per working day versus 288 loans in March 2023 and 250 loans a year ago. Total active customer count, which was almost 11,000 in June 2021 and 46,000 in June 2022, was up to almost 68,000 in June 2023 and is over 73,000 today. As we have added more than 60 branches and manpower in the last 1 year in these locations, we are now obsessively focused on branch productivity, which is measured in loans per day per branch and the resulting profitability it brings to the business. 46% of our branches broke even in 1Q24, and we expect this number to go up every quarter as more than 45% of the branches have crossed the 4 crore AUM threshold, and almost 30% of our branches have crossed more than the 5 crore AUM threshold in the most recent quarter. Going forward, the pace of increase in branch additions will slow for the rest of fiscal 24, and OPEX as a percentage of AUM will decline in the back half of the year and in fiscal 25. Furthermore, with several other initiatives being undertaken by the company to substantially enhance business volume through tech enablement, our cost to income should start to see material improvement later in the year and in fiscal 25. In coming months, we are hopeful of giving you more color on traction in lending as a service and other productivity and efficiency measures the company has undertaken to ramp up earnings growth. With that, we now open the call for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask questions, please press star and one. first question is from the line of Aditya Shah from Hercules Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We can hear you.
Sir, I had a couple of questions. Point number one is on this presentation that you have given, the cost of funds and the yield is not mentioned anywhere. I had asked for this, so if you could give this data, it would be great. That is the first point. The second point is we've seen the largest MSME lender in this country report very dismal set of numbers saying that the MSME credit offtake has not been really great. So I just wanted to understand from our point of view, what is happening in the MSME sector and how is the credit offtake? That's the second question. The third question is, on the gold loan side of it, we've seen banks becoming really very aggressive. Because of it, there has been a NIM compression for almost all NBFCs. So what are we experiencing on that side of our business would be my third question. So if you could help me with these three questions.
Sure, Aditya, thank you. So I'll go to your first question first. The yield for us was 18.9% in the most recent quarter, and the total cost of funds was 13.1%. Happy to tell you that incrementally, as I mentioned in the comments earlier, that incremental cost of funds has gone down by more than 100 basis points in the most recent quarter. And also going forward, we are taking an increasing proportion of our funding mix from larger banks. So we expect this to continue. On your second question on the credit offtake for MSME, we haven't seen any slowdown as yet. Obviously, our base is much smaller than the other competitor that you're talking about, who's a much larger lender. And also the geographies that we are serving right now, predominantly in these seven states, the majority of our branches are in Tier 2, Tier 3, and Tier 4 towns, where we're still continuing to see very good traction. One definite change that we are seeing is people are a lot more open to taking gold loans, and for our segment specifically where people are taking out gold loans for business purposes, it's much quicker than an unsecured business loan where a lot of documentation has to be provided. So for us at least, given the fact that we are doing roughly a disbursement of about 100 plus crores a month, we're not seeing any slowdown. On your third question on NIM compression for a lot of other lenders due to competition from banks on the gold loan side. For us, the NIM compression, at least that I can speak of, has come predominantly on the liability side. On the asset side, we couldn't take the yield up last year while a lot of the large lenders passed on the rate hikes to us. For us with banks, the segment is very different. So the banks cater to a larger ticket size segment relative to us in gold loans. Our average ticket size for gold loans is 1,20,000, which is much lower than it is for the banks. Also, one way to mitigate margin compression going forward is not to compete with the banks, but to collaborate with them. So we have adopted the August 2021, where we got on to co-lending, what we call lending as a service partnerships. We are increasingly adding more and more partners. And as mentioned in the call earlier, that we have added HDFC Bank as a partner. We've tied up with DCB Bank in the previous quarter as well, which was in the March quarter. And today we have five of these partners. So while the yield that we charge may be lower, but the IRR that we look to make with these banks to service the borrower is fairly accretive for us.
Understood, sir. I have three more questions. Point number one is we are in the middle of a huge credit upcycle where a lot of lenders are now mispricing their loans, and it could be possible that over a period of next 12 to 36 months, as new NPA formation comes in, there could be a possibility that NPAs could come. So what we as a company are really doing to make sure that our credit underwriting standards are relatively better than other lenders is something that I wanted to understand. First point. Second point is, I also wanted to understand from your opening commentary, you said that the number of branch additions would start to come down, by which the OPEX will start to come down. So just wanted to understand the rationale for bringing down the branch additions. I thought that since we are in the expansion phase, we will like to add some more branches so that we get a lot of traction. That's the second point that I wanted to ask. So if you can answer these two questions.
Sure. So on the new NPA formation, what we have done in credit specifically, firstly, if you look at what we did in fiscal 23, 77% of our disbursements were in the gold loan product, which is a zero NPA product for us. And in this most recent quarter, it was up to 82%. Just to give you some more color, in the gold loan product specifically, which again is catered predominantly towards business loan customers, we have done a cumulative disbursement of more than 1,700 crores from when we started the business until today. In that 1,700 crores, we have only taken about 4.2 crores into auction. And in those 4.2 crores also taken into auction, we have recovered on average 114% of principal plus interest. So we have seen so far very good vintage on the gold loan product with zero NPAs. In fact, in auction, we've recovered more than P plus I and given money back to the customer. So that is a way to kind of play the credit cycle where you're lending to a business loan customer in a secured product in a very, very risk mitigated manner. In terms of what we see on the unsecured business loan side, clearly there are definitely bounces, that happen in the unsecured business loan product towards the MSME segment. There's no doubt about that. The key is how strong is the collection team and how quickly you can be in front of the borrower to recover on your dues. So for us, this is about 15 to 18% of our quarterly disbursements right now. We are being very calibrated in the sectors that we lend to. So we have picked the essential goods sector, which are largely chemists, kirana stores, cloth traders, shoe retailers, hardware stores, plumbers, manufacturers of dupattas, manufacturers of small scale wires, cords, etc., that go into your computer, telephones, which are used for home and office wear. So there, our traction, at least we've seen, is fairly good, and the gross NPA ratio is 2.4%. On branch additions, what I did mention is that the pace of increase. So, for example, we added 31 branches in the most recent quarter, and we're up to 108 branches. That pace of adding 20 to 30 branches, that will slow down. So I'm not saying we will not add branches going forward, but obviously the idea is as we add a fewer number of branches per quarter while we are still in growth mode, the idea now is to continue to extract more and more juice out of your branches so that we can enhance productivity and extract larger earnings growth. So what I mentioned in my comments as well, just for example, we did about 380 loans per working day, which means we did about 3.8 loans per day in the branch. The idea is to pick this up substantially so that we can extract more juice and more earnings growth from the branches. Also, at one point in time, the branch additions will slow down because you want to slow down the capex and the opex to get more revenue generation from the existing branches that we do have.
Okay, understood. Sir, last two questions that I have is, sir, our partnership with Ugrow Capital, I can understand our partnership with banks. So I just wanted to understand what is the nature of partnership since we are an NBFC and we are tying up with another NBFC. So wanted to understand what capabilities does Ugrow help us with, point number one. The second, and the last point is, on the personal loan side of it, I just wanted a breakup of how the slippages are turning out over the period of last 6 to 12 months. Just to understand what is going on that business. So if anybody from your team could help me and in providing those, that would be great.
No, certainly. So with Ugrow Capital specifically or with any of the other partners that we have in lending as a service, they're all capital contributors. The entire sourcing, servicing and collection gets done by Trucap from our branches and experiential center network. So they are largely capital providers. On your second question on PL and slippages, it's a very, very small portion for us, less than 1% of our loan book. Between LAP and PL combined, it's 3%. PL is less than 1%. There, the slippages are fairly high, but for us, it's inconsequential right now, just given the fact that there's a very small tail left, and even those loans that we had originated with a 12 and 18-month tenure, they're reaching the end of that tenure. So it would not be appropriate for me to give you any color over there because we don't really have the pulse on what exactly is going on in the personal loan space, given how inconsequential that product is for us now.
Okay, no problem. And the last question, sir, apologies, last question. So over the period of next 2 to 3 years, how do we want to grow our gold business and the MSME business? And are we wanting to add any new products or are we going to continue in, within these same two products? The last question, and thank you for your kind reply.
Sure. So in terms of both the products as well, I think the most common thing there is we cater towards the small business and micro small business customer. How we secure ourselves is through gold loans, and obviously we have an unsecured product. Within these two, there will be certain other sub-products that we do have. So for example, in business loans, There'll be certain other things that we come up with in terms of product variation, product diversification, but we will not diversify from the business loan segment or the business loan product per se. Other than that, there is no plan right now to go into several different products. Like mentioned to you, we had done LAP and we had done personal loans earlier, but we will not be getting back into those products.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vineet Jain from Wise Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I want to understand, you just said that you have other small products, but what portion of, percentage of the total loan book you want to expand it to? Because I see only two major products.
So these two products will be the predominant focus of the company. Within these products, so for instance, in business loan, what we do offer right now is a pure play term loan product to a customer. There'll be certain variations of that we offer within business loans itself. So can it be supply chain financing or can it be an overdraft line of facility? Those are the kind of things we'll do, but we will not deviate from the business loan product. So it'll be these two products predominantly and extensions of these two products, but nothing in, some of the other products that many of our competitors do.
Okay. So any kind of a fee income you're working on?
So, yes, we're working on several fee income initiatives. For instance, we have a BC relationship as well right now, which will add to our fee income. So that is something that is a big focus for us as well. So we may not necessarily manufacture that product or provide capital for that product, what I mean from our own balance sheet, but can we be a distributor for that product from our experiential center network for other lenders? The answer to that is certainly yes.
Yeah, but coming next 1-3 years kind of, what could be the share of the revenue in that?
So the goal is to get our to have fee income to be about 20-25% of total income going forward. Obviously, if we can extract more and more juice from that, because that is very accretive to the bottom line, there is a very minimal cost associated with that. That will be better. But to be conservative, it's better to say that about 20-25% of total income should be contributed by fee income going forward in the next few years.
Yeah, I have another question on the promoter selling, which was recently done. There was a lot of volatility being created and got confused with it. So could you explain on that?
We don't comment on any stock price movements and on any kind.
But the stake sale which was done.
So there was no stake sale done in a block or anything as such. There was a small quantity that I believe was sold, but that was largely market conditions. There was nothing specific associated with that. As I mentioned, on stock price movements, etc., the company cannot comment on that.
I get that. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankur Gulati, who's an investor. Please go ahead.
So with the current OPEX of 188 million, what is...
Ankur, your voice is a little low. If you could speak a little louder.
The current OPEX of 188 million, just to get a sense, what type of revenue or PBT you guys can do, assuming you don't go from this point onwards?
Vineet, I'm sorry, your voice is very inaudible. I could barely hear you.
Is it better now?
Much better.
Okay. Your OPEX for this quarter was 188 million. If you run with the same OPEX, what is the top line and PBT you guys can do if you don't grow from this point onwards?
So I wouldn't say that we are not going to grow. Again, just to clarify for everyone on the call, what I did mention is that the pace of the increases in branch additions will slow down, which means last quarter we had 31 branches. We will not continue to add those number of branches. For the existing branch network that we do have, like I mentioned on the call, we're doing about 3.8 loans per day. We can easily take that up to close to 5-6 loans per day, if not more than that. So there's ample room for us to run with the existing infrastructure and network, along with the additions of more infrastructure that will come at a slightly slower pace for us to take up revenue and earnings substantially from here.
Yes, sir. What I'm trying to understand is you've spent certain OPEX, CAPEX. So what is the returns on those OPEX, CAPEX? I mean, if you can do 5 loans per branch per per day, does it mean that current infrastructure is good enough to generate 25-30% higher revenue from where we start?
Yes, it's even more than that.
Okay, that's helpful. Any updates on MoneyRabbit? Or is it still in on back?
No, so there are certain developments that have happened over there. We are working actually with an external party on developing that asset. That is something that has progressed fairly recently, and we will have more updates for you over the next 3 to 6 months on that. But there is a full plan being made around that and how we develop that asset for significant accretion, not just for us, but maybe even potential other partners going forward. I would give more, and the company would give you more clarity around that when we have the full plan baked in, and once that is approved by the board as well. So in the next quarter, or perhaps soon after that, we will be able to give you more color around that.
That's great. And can you share any number of what kind of capex or opex which went into MoneyRabbit till date?
So total capex and opex that went into MoneyRabbit specifically was close to about 5.5 crores.
Perfect. And last, Ugrow talks of a great tech stack. So just wanted to understand, are we integrated with the tech stack, or are we running our own tech stack? And
So we have our own tech stack, but as we mentioned earlier, what we do truly believe is, as a lender, technology is largely an enabler. Now, I know there's a lot going on in technology with a lot of discussions on AI, et cetera, and how that could improve lending modules going forward. So all of this, we would be able to give you a lot more color on, as I mentioned earlier. Along with MoneyRabbit, we're working with a large party on kind of rehashing our entire infrastructure architecture on the tech side, where we're looking at scaling the business substantially. So when I spoke about, enhancing productivity and efficiency through tech enablement as well, the idea is how at a particular point in branches, then how do you enable the business substantially with tech enablement. So this is something that we're working on very comprehensively along with MoneyRabbit as well. So this is one big project on technology that the company is working on. This does not happen overnight. So this is something that we will come back to you in subsequent calls. But the idea is through tech and our own tech stack, how we do a lot of things which include repurposing of leads, productivity enhancement, substantial scaling up of business volume, etc., where everything is integrated into one middleware, which is proprietary to us.
On your lending as a service business, what is the cost of income ratio only on that business, if someone wants to look at that piece?
So let us come back to you with color. We ourselves have not broken out just what it is in cost to income for that piece, but essentially that piece leverages off our infrastructure. So, it's hard for it to break down by branch. The reason being, most of our branches cater towards one of the other partner today. So the cost of funds are much easier to bifurcate over there, just given the fact that you do business with each partner at a particular hurdle rate. But in terms of OPEX cost, it's very hard to break down between partners. The reason being that you would, in any case, spend that money on the CAPEX or OPEX if we were writing 100% of those loans on our own balance sheet.
Okay. No, that's helpful. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratik Ajit Shroff, who's an investor. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Could you please actually throw some light on the pledge shares promoter holding? Is that by the recent state dilution that happened from 65%? Now we are at some 53% odd promoter holding. Is it because of some pledge being revoked, or is it just promoter selling off? Could you throw some clarity on that? And secondly, also on the warrants that are to be are due in November at 132 odd this. So is there anything else that is going to be offered to the warrant holders? Is there any norm for it, or does SEBI allow it actually? That'd be great help.
So on your first question, again, the promoter holding was never 65%. It was 55.2 or 55.3%, which has come down to about 52.3% right now. So that is one clarification. I would not like to comment on what is the reason why it's come down, and I cannot comment on forward-looking events. On the warrant, there is still time until November 2023. For the investors to put money in for the warrant. So, you know, in due time, you will get to hear what is happening over there, but I cannot comment on, you know, any forward-looking comments over there.
Okay.
Thank you. We'll move to the next question. The next question is from the line of Khushi Jain, who's an investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good morning. I have a couple of questions. So, what is the cost of borrowings now?
So, our total cost of borrowing right now is 13.1%, which is coming down because that's the total debt cost. We have high-cost paper rolling off as well, which was money that was taken out from other NBFCs over the last 2 years. That duration of usual 18 to 24 months is now wearing off. The incremental cost of funds today in the last quarter has come down by about 120 basis points. So in the last quarter, we funded ourselves at 12.2%, and now that has come down to below 12% in this quarter so far.
Also, what strategies are we working for to further decrease this?
Two things. One is obviously we are letting the high cost, we are taking out more funding from larger lenders, which are from banks, as you know, we have grown in size as well, and our business model is being validated by many of the lenders. So we have been able to bring in three large banks in the last 3 months specifically as our lenders. So we have more than 27 lenders today. We have many of the PSU banks, which include SBI, Bank of India, Central Bank of India. Now we have three of the large private banks as well that have given out term loans to us in the last 3 months. At a lower cost than what we had raised money earlier in the last 1 year specifically. Number two is we are writing more business on the asset side with these co-lending partners and what we call lending as a service, where the rate given to these partners is a fixed hurdle rate. Over and above that is something for us to keep for the sourcing, servicing on the collection. So for all the 80% contribution that they make, they get a fixed hurdle rate, and then we make a spread on that.
Okay, so the next question I have is, so actually our other income is more than the net interest income. So could you clarify the components and the contributions of other income?
Yeah, so other income for us, as mentioned to you, we have a BC relationship. We have many other partners that we help out on the co-lending. We, just like we do co-lending with larger partners, we also do co-lending with the smaller partners on the business loan side. So there's a lot of fee income that gets generated from them. That's the fee income component. As mentioned earlier as well, now we are looking to expand that further, especially on the BC side with other lenders, where there will be products that we don't provide capital for on our own balance sheet, but we will help cross-sell it for them from our own experiential center network and make up for income over there.
Okay, sir. Thank you. My last question is that the company has achieved the gross NPF around 1%, which has significantly improved in the last couple of years. So what are the initiatives contributed to this improvement, and what levels of gross NPAs can be anticipated moving forward?
So two things. One is there are two reasons why there's been substantial improvement. One is obviously we've tried to resolve many of our LAP and personal loan legacy book, which was something that was underwritten in 2018, 2019, and part of 2020 fiscal. So there's been significant resolution over there. If you recall back in March 2020, almost 78% of the loan book was in LAP. Today, between LAP and personal loans, it's less than 3%, which will go down to almost zero by March 2024. So last fiscal, LAP and personal loan alone were almost 60% of NPAs, which is 60% of 3%. Now in our 1.1%, only 14% comes from LAP and NPAs, which will come down further. Number two is also we've done incrementally more and more disbursements for the business loan product in the gold loan category. And even in our unsecured business loan category, it's been towards these essential goods sector, which has contributed to better vintage. What we endeavor for going forward is a similar gross NPA ratio where we are today. Obviously, if we do better than this going forward, that'll be good. But I would not like to give any specific guidance on where we will be in the next few years. But our endeavor is to be in this range of about 1 to 1.1%.
Okay, so that's it for mine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask questions, please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Ritu Chawla, who's an investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hi, good morning. So thank you for the opportunity. I have a few questions. The first one being, what is our current credit rating and what agency is this rating by?
We are rated BBB plus by Infomerics and BBB with AdvitCare.
Okay. The next question that I have, so the presentation indicates a projected 50% co-lending to the total AUM by FY25. So could you just outline the strategies intended to achieve this particular goal?
So one is, if you look at where we were in March 2022 as well, it was only about 1% of our total AUM. It is up to about 33% of total AUM. And as we have added more of these co-lending partners, we have five of them today. The idea is to take this up to about 40 to 45% by the end of this fiscal and the end of next fiscal. And then the other, how we take it up is obviously through continual addition of our branch network, which we've done now because we have to give them a certain level of volume. And number two is more and more of our disbursement volume gets written with these partners, which we already are doing at this point in time. So, you know, for this, what you need to do is write a good vintage of business, which hopefully, given the fact that we've tied up with five very reputable firms so far, at least that showcases our ability to write good business volume for them, because as you can understand and appreciate that tying up with any of these partners, not just you have to agree on product, policy and process, there's a ton of integration that gets involved as well, which includes operational teams, collections teams, risk teams, etc. So it's a long and time-consuming process. We have done it with five of these partners, and hopefully for them we'll be able to write good volume, which will take our lending as a service book to about 45% of AUM by the end of March 25.
Understood. Thank you so much, sir. One last question. So recently the company has tied up with HDFC Bank and also apart from DCB and Yogro, which are already our partners. So what is our growth strategy here going ahead?
Our growth strategy with them is in the products that we are doing co-lending with them. So, for instance, in DCB, it's only for the gold loan product. With Yugo, it's only for the business loan product. And for HDFC Bank, it's both for the gold loan and for the business loan product. So what gets agreed with these partners, as I mentioned, is product policy and process. How we write business for them, where they are 80% capital contributors, we contribute 20% of our own capital as well. But the entire sourcing, servicing and collection that's done with us. So that is our strategy, not just with them, but with any of the other co-lending partners that we do have, which are Central Bank of India. And obviously there are others in the pipeline that we're talking to as well. But what we have to calibrate very carefully is what kind of volume we'll be able to give to each partner. Because firstly, tying up with a partner is a very long and cumbersome exercise. And then post that, it's even more difficult on the integration part. So you have to be fairly, you know, careful about who you tie up with, both from their side and from our side. And it's a long-term marriage which hopefully will benefit both entities.
Understood. Thank you so much, sir. It was very insightful. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. A reminder once again to participants that you may press star and one to ask questions. Well, that was the last question in queue. I would now like to hand the conference back to the management team of TrueCap Finance for closing comments.
Thank you, Rio, and thank you to everyone who joined the call today. We look forward to talking to you in the next earnings calls. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of TrueCap Finance Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.